right. It is time for Fast Track. John on the court. I'm going to do something bold. You know, I have very bad luck when I keep when I ignore using the term no-hitter, okay?
Okay.
But Julio Urías is he's held Seattle hitless through 2.5. Does he throw a no-hitter? One side of the coin is yes. Other side of the coin is no.
No. Tails.
Tails.
Come on.
Tails
I'm rooting for a no-hitter so bad.
Idiot. I will defer. So bad. No advantage comes with that.
Okay. Using Pro Football Reference's database of quarterbacks, 721 quarterbacks who made their debuts during the Super Bowl era since 1966, they figured out where each guy came from, what state he came from. And I want you to guess which states have produced the most NFL quarterbacks. So I've got a list of the top 10 states where quarterbacks have been developed.
Okay. Three strikes and I'm out?
Yep, three strikes and you're out.
All right, California.
Number one, 141.
I'm going to go Ohio.
Ohio is number five with 34.
Florida.
Florida is number four with 39.
Pennsylvania.
Is number three with 54. Yeah, you almost have the top five. You're missing number two.
Texas.
Texas is number two. You're absolutely right.
Okay. Now I'm going to start missing them because those were the easy ones. All right, let's go.
By the way, no hitter's gone.
Oh, you jinxed it. See?
Jeez. Yeah, I did jinx
nice
it.
Nice going, you
dope. Come on, I did jinx man. It.
All right, Mason,
I was trying.
I'll go Georgia.
Georgia is number 10 with 17.
Ooh, I'm still alive. Okay. Let me go. What's another big football state?
You're missing 6, 7, 8, 9.
Let's go Arizona.
Arizona is number 9 with 19. Very good.
I still haven't missed one. Okay. Oklahoma. That's number 1. Okay.
First buzzer.
This is where it's going to get. It's going to start to get tough. Where else is a football factory? Lindsay, help me out here. What
You're
state
missing
have
six,
I not
seven,
made?
And eight.
I don't think New York's one of them. New York's basketball.
What states have produced the most NFL quarterbacks?
How about Alabama?
Alabama did not make the top 10. That's
right,
two
Lindsay,
strikes.
I'm down to two strikes.
What about Mississippi?
Oh, good. Mississippi.
No, Mississippi's not there.
Okay, which one did I miss?
Here's the order. It's California, Texas, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, Louisiana, Illinois.
I should have got that.
Washington, Arizona, and Georgia. Those are the top 10 for producing quarterbacks for the NFL. It's to you.
All right. There's a new rule change in the NFL that is supposed to pass on Wednesday, tomorrow.
Okay.
Players will be able to wear any uniform number they want. In the past, if you're a QB, you had to wear a number under 20. Wide receivers had to be between 10 and 19 or in the 80s. Stuff like that. The new rule proposed by the Chiefs would allow running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers to wear any number from 1 to 49 as well as 80 to 89. Defensive backs and linebackers can also wear numbers 1 to 49 if this rule change is approved. Now, this is from Peter King's Football Morning in America.
Right.
Quote, one team could have to deal with this soon. Inside the Rams, it's thought that two big stars want the same single-digit number.
Hmm.
Robert Woods and Jalen Ramsey each want to wear number 2. Seniority gives the nod to Woods, who is older and has been in the league longer. We shall see. End quote. If you're the Rams, Mace, how would you handle this? Ramsey, along with Aaron Donald, is one of the two best players on the team. But Woods is also important, and he's been there longer. Who gets number 2?
So they're fighting over number 2, Jalen Ramsey and Robert Woods.
Right. Little background. Jalen Ramsey has never worn number 2. He wore number 8 at Florida State. Robert Woods wore number 2 at Sarah High and at USC.
Okay. I find in favor of Robert Woods unless the two of them individual. I don't think the organization should be involved in this. Unless the two of them can reach an accommodation. But
who,
I think Robert Woods, virtue of seniority and by virtue of having always worn the number, should keep the number.
But here's the thing you said, the two of them could work it out. Who has the number to start with? Like, in other words, who's is, like, if you say you two work it out and the solution is, well, I want it, but I want it, then how do you resolve?
You say, if neither of you can work it out, then neither of you get it.
Oh, parenting tip.
Yeah, that sounds very parental. Why not just let the seniority guy have it?
You know how you could solve this problem?
Wow.
Aaron Donald just says he wants number two.
Yeah, no, that would resolve everything. Resolve everything.
It's to
me. Matthew McConaughey could actually have a real shot at becoming the next governor of Texas if he chooses to run. According to a poll of Texas voters conducted by Dallas Morning News, McConaughey holds a significant lead over incumbent Greg Abbott. If he were to take the plunge and run for governor, the poll found 45% of Texas registered voters would vote for McConaughey, 33% would vote for Abbott, 22% would vote for someone else. Do you think McConaughey is actually going to go through with it and run for governor of Texas, and will he win?
Yes, I think he will run for governor of Texas. Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor of California. Donald Trump was president. Are you telling me Matthew McConaughey can't win that?
All right, he's going to run.
And I think, you know, every time one of these celebrities gets it, it's never as bad as we think it's going to be. Jesse Ventura was fine. Schwarzenegger was fine. If Matthew McConaughey wins, I think he would be fine. What do you think?
I think he would be fine. I don't think he will survive all the dirty tricks and negative advertising
But everybody already knows that Matthew McConaughey is a partier who has hooked up with tons of actresses.
I don't think that's it. I think they run the, you have no experience, you're just a Hollywood actor. What could you possibly know about running Texas?
You could apply all that stuff to Schwarzenegger. He won in a landslide.
It was a weird callback election, really strange.
Yeah, we might have another one coming up here.
I don't think he'll actually go through. I do not understand why a movie star, an Academy Award winning movie star, would want to slum as a politician.
Well,
it's such a better job being a movie
look
star.
Up. Reagan, Ronald. He was a successful Hollywood actor.
Yeah, I know.
He started running, and then next thing you know, the guy's president.
But why would you want to subject yourself to that?
Power. People are power hungry.
You think Matthew McConaughey is power hungry?
Well, maybe he thinks he can help.
Yeah, I think he ends up not running. I don't think The Rock winds up running for president. I think all this stuff is fun to talk about, but I don't think it's going to happen. It's to you.
Okay. Washington, the state of Washington, has passed a bill banning the sale of new gas-powered cars in the state beginning in 2030.
Okay.
That's 5 years earlier than California and Massachusetts, meaning Washington's ban will now kick in the soonest of any state at the moment.
Right.
It applies to the registration of any vehicle model 2030 or newer, so importing a new gas-powered car sold in other states won't be permitted either.
Right.
So it got me to thinking, would it be smart if you and I lived in Washington State to invest in gas stations right now? On one hand, gas-powered cars will be gone in 20 years, but on the other hand, nobody's going to build new gas stations, right?
Right.
A lot of people won't be getting rid of their traditional gas-powered cars, so they're going to need gas stations. Would it be smart to own one of the few places they could go to buy gas?
Well, wouldn't you be smarter to build a place where they just have a ton of charging stations?
Well, you could do both, but I'm just saying, will there become a priority on gas?
It's clearly going to be a dying business,
right.
But you can make money in the short term. So, yeah, I would say gas is lucrative. I think you can make a lot of money in the short term, but it is a dying business. It is going to go away, and I would make sure to have a whole bunch of charging stations at my gas station, too, to be able to make that transition. But, for the short term, I would invest in gas because everybody needs it for the moment.
Right, and I think would need it past 2030 because you can't buy a new car in 2020. Like, I had my Navigator for 16 years.
Good
so if
Lord.
I would have, if I bought a new Navigator now, and kept it for 16 years, it'd be.
Won't your next car be an electric vehicle?
My lease is up this summer, and so I gotta, you know, I gotta.
Because there's like an electric version of everything now.
Yeah. I don't know. I gotta talk to my guy Matt Unger or to your guy John Patterson and figure out what's new, what's next.
Yeah,
I gotta make a decision in the next few months.
All right, it's to me. In an interview with Sports Illustrated's Michael Rosenberg, did you do this story? Number one draft pick Trevor Lawrence?
I don't think so.
That he doesn't play football with an edge?
No, we didn't do it. We didn't do it.
So in Sports Illustrated, this is what Trevor Lawrence says. He says, it's hard to explain because I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do, and it's really important to me. But I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everybody's out to get me, and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to. So he was immediately criticized for showing a lack of competitiveness. Since making that statement, Trevor Lawrence has backtracked. He sent out several tweets. He says, "I am internally motivated. I love football as much or more than anyone. It is a huge priority in my life, obviously. I am driven to be the best I can be and to maximize my potential and to win. I am secure in who I am and what I believe. I don't need football to make me feel worthy as a person. I purely love the game." So when you take all of that, both what he originally said to Sports Illustrated and how he responded to the controversy, what does it say about Trevor Lawrence's competitiveness?
Doesn't have a chip
on his shoulder.
Yeah, it's not good. I'm just trying to determine if it's necessarily bad. You know, if it's something that I think his talent is so good that he's going to be the first pick no matter what.
Oh, no question.
But do you think it's a big deal or a little deal that he doesn't sound very competitive? It might be a little deal. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think the most important, he's got unbelievable raw skills, and we saw what he was able to do at Clemson. But I think ultimately when you get to the NFL level and you're sort of in that fire that exists, you've got to be willing to do the work. You've got to be completely self-possessed. I mean, you look at Tom Brady. He has been all in on this thing for 20 plus years, and that's the reason why he's the best. Whether he is driven to be the best is a question, but I think the most important thing when taking a quarterback is to know their makeup. How are they going to be as a leader? How are they going to be as a guy who studies film and does the work? This suggests, and by the way, I don't disagree with him. I am secure in who I am. Nothing wrong with that. I don't need football to make me worthy as a person. Well, I think that's true.
Right.
I purely love the game.
I don't think it's necessarily a huge deal. Let's see. You know, there's one guy in my history of covering the NBA, there's one guy that I came across that just didn't like basketball. You could tell he had no interest in it. It was Michael Olowokandi, the number one pick in the Clippers,
yeah,
who was the number one pick in the whole draft. After spending some time with him, you could tell it just, you know, he just didn't love the game very much. He just didn't really care. And that turned out to be he was a flop. So I hope Trevor Lawrence doesn't have that gene in him. But I don't necessarily think because he's not living and dying with every snap, he's not going to be successful.
Okay.
Let's see.
I think that is it.
Okay.
Derek Chauvin, this is just in. Derek Chauvin, the police officer in Minneapolis, has been found guilty on all three counts in the George Floyd death case. He was charged. He was found guilty second-degree unintentional murder, second-degree manslaughter, third-degree murder, means causing death by an eminently dangerous act showing a depraved mind. So Derek Chauvin found guilty by those 12 jurors in the state of Minnesota today. Coming up next for you. First I got to remind everybody, Fast Track is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around, not being used? Bring it into Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Interesting, John, that we talked about Trevor Lawrence. I've got another sort of question of competitiveness about a current NBA player. I've got that coming up for you next. And a little bit later on at 2:30, I have an opinion on Aaron Rodgers as the host of Jeopardy.
Okay.
I'll share that at 2:30 today. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dodgers are up 1-0 on Seattle. They are four innings into the game. Julio Urias has allowed just one base hit, an infield single. Corey Seager singled home A.J. Pollock in the third. So the Dodgers with a 1-0 lead on the Mariners up in Seattle. And, John, you know, we always talk about professional athletes and whether they love the game or the life.
Right.
And
you can tell pretty early.
Yeah, Ira Windeman and Ethan Skolnick do a podcast called Inside the Paint, and they cover the Miami Heat. And they talked on their most recent podcast about Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero chose to become a celebrity. Mm-hmm. He chose to become something outside the game.
We saw it coming, though, from the very beginning.
His rights with his breakfast cereal and his Tyler Tuesdays and his Chipotle bowl, and that's all well and good. But you know what? Other players, when they see a player doing that before they've truly reached it, I don't know if I want to say there's a jealousy, but I think the pros, they sort of take an askance view of the guy and say, wait a minute, buddy, you haven't done anything yet.
Well, look, but ultimately, the team starts to get a certain level of concern.
Right.
In this particular case, the team has been concerned now for months.
Should the Miami Heat be concerned about Tyler Hero, and do you think he's guilty of caring about the life more than the game?
Maybe a little. If you
he's not having a good year, by the way.
Yeah, if you like, he's his girlfriend's an Instagram model.
Okay.
Used to go out with Kuzma. So she's kind of one of
those. This is sort of the criticism a little bit that Kuzma gets from certain Laker fans on Lakers Twitter.
Yeah, I disagree with it, and as it applies to Kuzma, I mean, he's turned his game around this year. He's become an excellent defender. He rebounds now. He didn't rebound before. His game's actually grown. And I hesitate to criticize any players for anything they do off the court, because what they do off the court is completely up to them. But Tyler Hero was very, very good last year.
Yes.
And he has taken a step back. And you have a theory that anybody who dates somebody with a headshot is going to struggle.
Yes.
And that's Hero. So some guys can make it work. Other guy, you know, Lamar Odom won Sixth Man of the Year when he was married to Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah, but then it all went bad.
Yeah, but he had his best year when he was with her. It's after he broke up with her that he started to struggle.
Yeah, I mean, generally my theory has always been, and it sounds like Tyler Hero's got a bunch of, you know, Tyler Tuesday and some kind of breakfast cereal and all this marketing stuff that he's doing. He's a really good player. He's not a great player. He's not a superstar. He's a good player.
Hero?
Yeah. He's good.
He could be a superstar.
But he's not yet.
Right, he's only 20.
Yeah, I mean, he's scoring 14 points a game. I mean, he's okay. He's not Tyler Tuesday, I have my own breakfast cereal kind of guy.
Well, in Miami, though, it's a small market.
The one thing I'll say is, and I do believe this, that, and it's not the fact that you're in a relationship. There's obviously, everybody's going to get in a relationship, all that stuff, but when it's with somebody really famous, somebody really well-known, somebody who makes you the object of tabloid photos and look at this person and you're going to red carpets and you're going to fancy restaurant openings and you're going to all these things, I think there's an element of loving the life more than loving the game that it sounds like has gotten in the way of Tyler Hero's development.
Well, and by the way, this can be temporary.
Sure.
Like, I always thought when D'Angelo Russell was on the Lakers, he was a little guilty of this. And then when he went to New Jersey, or Brooklyn, rather, he became an all-star. He got really good. Now, he's been traded twice since then, but I still think he could have a really good career. So you can grow out of it. You can, you know, this doesn't have to be a permanent condition. And I'm a fan of Tyler Hero. I think he's a really good player. The other thing is Miami is a unique organization in that they're more demanding on their players than other organizations are.
Yep.
Pat Riley has this whole conditioning thing where he wants you to change your body type and go through a certain, Sedano's talked about a lot, how Miami just is a different culture than anywhere else in the league.
Sure.
So I think that if somebody was loving the life a little too much, that it would stand out more in Miami. Because, right. number one, they're on South Beach, and number two, Pat Riley drives a really, you know, hard bargain down there.
Right. I just pulled up a headline. Tyler Hero, too big for his britches, was one of the, one yeah, of the headlines.
Yeah, I like I Tyler love, Hero.
That's my grandfather's expression. Too big for his britches.
But by the way,
but you can fall in love with the life more than you fall in love with the game. There's no question about that. And you do get distracted. There's no question.
Oh, yeah. And there are certain guys that it ends their career prematurely because they fall in love with the life.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to say something here about everybody was thrilled with Aaron Rodgers on Jeopardy, right? Did you like Aaron Rodgers on Jeopardy?
I thought he was good. I didn't think he was like necessarily a slam dunk to replace Trebek. And we spent a lot of time talking about this last week. You know, I think I've benefited greatly by the fact that I was not the first person to follow Chick Hearn. Because right. it's always going to be Chick's chair.
Sure.
But I'm the fourth person to follow Chick.
Yes.
The first person who follows Alex is going to have a really high bar to clear. And so, and a matter of fact, I don't think anybody can clear it. I said about Aaron Rodgers was, I thought he was fine. I thought he did a good...
No, you said he was excellent, John.
See, I thought he was super dull.
Well, wait a minute. Lindsay interrupted me before I was finished. This is what I said. I said Aaron Rodgers was fine. What he would bring Jeopardy, though, is he would bring a name. A lot of people would tune in. If you're just going to hire Ken Jennings, you should hire Aaron Rodgers.
But see, that only gets you so far, John. That gets people in the door, right? You see that, right. Aaron Rodgers. But once you're in the door, if you're not enjoying it, if you're not entertained, if he's not viewed the caliber, people are going to leave. The name only gets you so far.
Right. I thought Rodgers was. When I watched him, I thought, wow, he's pretty good at this. He's better than I thought he would be. Do you disagree with that?
Yeah, I thought he was boring. I thought he was boring.
Have you seen any of the fill-in hosts who you would say weren't boring?
I'm going to be the only guy. I like the executive producer guy, that Mike Richards. I thought he was the best guy so far. Not a name.
Well, you know who's coming
really
up?
Good at the job.
You know who's coming up?
I know Anderson Cooper is this week. Who else is coming up?
Joe Buck.
Oh, I think Joe Buck could be fantastic.
Wait a minute. You've ripped Joe Buck on this show every chance you've gotten.
Joe Buck, first of all, I know he hates the Dodgers.
He does not hate the Dodgers. And by the way, when he came on, he was great.
Right. He's been on the show. I love the guy. I think he's unbelievably smart. I love his play-by-play work. I'm a really big fan, even though he hates the Dodgers. But I think he's smart. He's witty. I think Joe Buck would be a perfect. I can see Joe Buck doing that forever. I can see him doing that job forever.
Well, he's going to get a chance.
Anderson Cooper tonight. Here's what I don't like. Anderson Cooper's got too many jobs. Start leaving jobs for other people. Like you can't be AC360 plus 60 Minutes plus Jeopardy. That's too many jobs for one person. I'm sorry. And earlier Lindsay said, "What about Seacrest?" I'm like, Seacrest has too many jobs too. He's taking up all the good jobs.
Right. There are a lot of people that are like that. You know who I thought they should audition for that job? Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I said that to Lindsay today. I thought Neil deGrasse Tyson would be a really smart choice.
Yeah, I'd like to see if he could do it.
Yeah.
But I actually liked Aaron Rodgers. I liked him obviously more than you did.
The trick with Jeopardy is that Alex Trebek, you would look at him and you'd say, oh, he knew this answer before the show even started. Like, he knows the answers to all these because he's really smart. You've got to be super smart to be able to pull that off. And you're right, whoever follows him, it's going to be tough. But I think Joe Buck is a great idea. Joe Buck is a great idea. We should get Joe back on the show. He was fantastic when he was on the air with us.
He's got a good podcast, by the way. The podcast he does with Oliver Hudson is really good.
Is really good. Coming up next for you, the saga of Vivian. We've got another little update to it that I want to add. We'll explain the story in case you're not part of Lakers Twitter. And we've got some audio now to play that may lead us to a conclusion about the real identity of Vivian. That's coming up next for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So letting you know that Julio Urias is throwing a gem right now. Dodgers up 1-0. It is the bottom of the fifth. Urias has allowed an infield single, and that is it. Dodgers score on a Corey Seager RBI single in the third inning. So we'll.
And
keep
wasn't
that
infield single right after you pointed out he was throwing a no-hitter?
Literally moments after.
You jinxed them.
Nice going.
But I was trying to do the reverse jinx. Nah. You always say you don't believe in the jinx.
I don't, but you do.
So I reversed it thinking, all right, I'll try it this way since I've not had any luck. And so I thought I tried it then. It didn't work. Didn't work. And it was a really chippy little infield single off the end of the bat. So, but Urias is throwing fantastic right now. All right, so if you are on Twitter, you know this story. You've been following this story. There's a guy who started a podcast named Josh Toussaint. And Josh Toussaint has been doing this podcast. There are only three of them, with someone named Vivian. Supervan Vivian, who goes by Butterfly424 on Twitter. Josh Toussaint claimed last night this. Hey, Lakers family, Vivian Flores at Butterfly424 is missing. She's 5'5". May or may not be wearing a wig because she's going through leukemia treatment. From Santa Monica, DM me if you have a lead or you may see her. Love you all and stay safe. Now, a lot of people jumped into this thing. O'Shea, who we had on earlier, retweeted this message, helped find Vivian. And ultimately, Vivian, according to Josh, did show up again on her Twitter. So we want to go back and listen to this podcast because we think either Josh is being catfished by this Vivian person or Josh is the one who's catfishing everyone. So we've got part of the podcast that they do. It's called the Lakers Point Podcast. And I want to play a little bit of it. You'll hear Vivian's voice talking with Josh Toussaint. Listen to this carefully.
I mean, we all, after every game, win or lose, we're going to react with emotion because we, in the moment, even myself, I tweet a lot of stuff sometimes out of emotion.
Okay, so there you hear Vivian on the podcast. Now, there's a sound audio engineer, who has voice-pitched this down. And listen to what Vivian sounds like when you take all the processing off her voice.
Obviously, they not wins that we want against teams like the contenders. Obviously, the teams that are, think they're below 500, if I'm not mistaken. Both teams are below 500.
Yeah. That is a dude. That is a dude.
Are you sure that sound engineer just didn't doctor her voice to make it sound like a guy?
Lindsay,
that is incredible.
Lindsay, is that, do we have it right?
That was part of the big thread where all he did was adjust the pitch level on it.
And wound up getting a dude.
That the second part of that clearly sounds like a guy.
Now, I don't think we're ever going to hear from this Josh Toussaint again.
You think he's gone underground?
He's got to. I mean, look what he did. He sent out a missing girl tweet, and the missing girl had leukemia. I don't know what this guy was doing, whether it was, I guess it was just for attention or to promote the podcast or to get followers or what
stunning.
It was.
Wait, hey, Jorge, play the actual podcast, the one that sounds like a woman.
I mean, we all, after every game, win or lose, we're going to react with emotion because we, in the moment, even myself, I tweet a lot of stuff sometimes out of emotion.
Wait, so that clearly sounds like a woman.
Yes, and here's
now,
the audio engineer.
This is supposedly all he did, Lindsay, was turn down the pitch level?
Yep.
All right, play it again, Jorge.
Obviously, they not wins that we want against teams like the contenders. Obviously, the teams that are, I think they are below 500, if I'm not mistaken. Both teams are below 500.
Yep. Now, that is a dude. That's just flat out a dude. By the way, getting a lot of tweets. Abraham Hosea, Vivian is a dude for show. For sure.
You read that like a white
guy. Oh, that's a drop. Thanks.
For sure. Yeah, I think I sound very Generation Z when I say that.
Yeah.
What a weird thing.
So
it's
so
weird what can take over Twitter the way this one did.
So our leading theory, we don't know for sure because we can't find this guy, but our leading theory is that this guy, Josh Toussaint, had a podcast with a woman named Vivian who he allegedly made up, and he's actually... Now, who do you think the other person speaking in the podcast is?
I think he's talking to himself. I think he's talking, then he's raising the pitch, and she's talking, then he's lowering the pitch.
But wait a minute, This thing goes way deeper than just this podcast.
Oh, it goes way deeper, right?
There's people, there's these Lakers Twitter sleuths that have found out that this account is 11 years old. And apparently Vivian on Twitter used to be someone named Kelly on Twitter who used to do the same thing with Raiders Twitter 11 years ago.
Wow.
Whoa. So she's been catfishing.
Yeah, she catfished people as a Raiders fan back in the day.
She or he.
Yeah,
right? We don't know it's a she.
So, yeah, right. And then when you think of it in that perspective, I don't know, like, what's the end game for Josh? I feel like there's part of me, a big part of me that is hesitant to blame Josh because I feel like what's the end game for him if he's been doing this for 11 years?
Poof, he's got to disappear. His name's not even Josh.
But why would he do it? Why would he do it for
attention.
11 years?
Attention.
And he could monetize it.
Yeah.
You know, he could sell the podcast.
It all went bad. I think he sent that out thinking, all right, this will be good. And now he realizes that was a terrible mistake to basically shout missing girl with cancer. You don't tweet out about a missing girl with cancer unless there's actually a missing girl with cancer. Yeah, I mean, this guy is getting his comeuppance. I don't think we'll hear from him again. I think that Twitter account is dead. I think he's got to start over. I don't think and he'll probably start over as somebody else.
Right. He'll just reinvent.
One thing I wanted to mention, Dodgers up 1-0. They're in the top of the sixth inning now. So Marco Gonzalez has thrown well, along with Julio Urias thrown well.
Yeah, another thing I wanted to mention today that we haven't gotten to yet. I remember all throughout UCLA's magical run to the tournament, I said,
yes.
One of the amazing things about this team is I don't think they have an NBA player.
Yes.
And then Johnny Juzang basically, I thought, played his way into the NBA in the tournament. He averaged like 22 points a game in the tournament. He helped lead him to the Final Four. Juzang announced today that he is going to enter the NBA draft. So my guess is he got advice from people saying, hey, you'll be a first-round draft pick if you enter, and so he's going to enter the draft.
Good for him. Good for him.
For show.
Faux show.
And I think that sounds right. That sounds contemporary, doesn't it?
For show.
For show.
Oh, man.
I wanted to also mention one other thing. If you saw last night's Dodgers game in the ninth inning, Mookie Betts got hit by pitch, and it looked really bad. He sort of crumbled to the ground and grabbed his forearm. As it turns out, they did an X-ray. The X-ray was negative. He did not. The fear was he had broken his wrist or broken his forearm. It looks like it was a soft tissue injury. So he's listed as day to day. He is not in the lineup today.
I wonder if he'll be able to play starting Thursday in the Padres series.
I hope so. I'm excited for that. We're going to the Saturday game. I just got tickets for the Saturday game, so I'm excited. We're going as fans. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff she's going to throw at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, the highest rated portion of the show. Thank you very much for being here. It happens every single day at 2:40. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys. Well, Johnny Manziel is back in the news, I guess you could say. He's on the list of athletes who aren't big fans of Darren Rovell. But last week, the Action Network reporter, that is Rovell, revealed on Twitter that the former NFL quarterback sent him a gift. It was an autographed helmet that had an explicit message on it. On the helmet, Manziel wrote, "To Darren, bleep you." And of course, he didn't say bleep. Manziel and Rovell's beef goes back to Rovell's reporting on Manziel's autograph scandal back in college when he was at Texas and A&M. Do you think that Johnny Football did this all in good fun, or is he still ticked at Darren Rovell?
I think that he probably still is ticked at Darren Rovell, but it's funny. I think it keeps Johnny Manziel in the news, and it doesn't bother me. I think that that's something I would do to one of my friends, so good for Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, there are a fair number of people out there who, for whatever reason, don't like Darren Rovell. It sounds like Johnny may be one of them. I'm sure he's like jerking his chain, but there's something behind it. There must be something behind it.
Darren Rovell is he's one of the best sports business reporters
out there.
But you
know there are anti-Rovell people out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there are people that just don't like Darren Rovell. Maybe Johnny Manziel is one of them after what was done. But no, I think it's harmless fun. You can send me a hat that says F you.
All right, so any faux of Mason's show. Enemies.
Yeah, send Mason Mason's a hat that says faux show.
Faux show.
All right. For show.
For show.
In a recent interview with Gilly the Kid on the Million Dollars Worth a Game podcast, NBA superstar Kevin Durant shared his top five teammates he's ever played with. Here's what he said.
Top five players you ever played with?
Kyrie. James.
James.
Steph.
Steph.
Clay.
Clay.
I'm going to go with Serge Ibaka.
Damn.
Whoa,
I thought
no
somebody
rough.
Else was going to go
me too.
That
I'm
from
just
L.A.
Saying, but that's so I'm just – all right, so
– I forgot somebody?
Yeah, you – to me, I thought you was going to say – I ain't even going.
Yeah.
So he later went back and says, I'm going to take Ibaka out of it and puts Russell Westbrook in there. But – and then he says that Westbrook would probably even be higher than Thompson on the list. But – do you think that KD was purposely throwing some shade at Russell Westbrook? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe right. I think he just forgot. I think you're asked that question.
How do you forget about Russell Westbrook? So he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I think you're asked a question on the fly. You come up with names, and Russell didn't pop into his head. And good, I don't know, Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, for the third time
today.
Where'd
that come from?
I'm going to accuse Mason of being incredibly naive. Of course that was shade on Russell Westbrook.
Am I just a naive person?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I expect the best of people.
How is that not throwing shade at Russell Westbrook?
Because I think it was – listen to it again. I think he just forgot.
Wait a minute. He forgot Russell Westbrook, the teammate that has more assists to him than anyone ever?
He was stumbling around. I'll say Kyrie. I'll say – Harden, you got to obviously name your own teammates. Steph, Clay, and then, I don't know, Serge Ibaka.
This is the equivalent of someone asking me or you, who is the best co-host you've ever had, and leaving the other guy off it.
Yeah, I mean, you're top five for me.
Well, but if I didn't mention you top five, people would say, what about Mason?
Yeah.
The very first thing when he started naming names is I thought, I wonder where
am I top five for you?
Yeah. You're one.
I'm one?
Yeah.
That
for radio co-hosts, how many do you think I have?
You're two. You're number two.
Behind?
Tom Snyder was number one.
You know, okay, listen to this. Actual moment. Lindsay, yep. I know I'm stealing your time here, but I'll make it quick. Bring this up tomorrow, Mace.
Okay.
Last night, Tom Snyder comes up somehow in the game. Like there was a player named Snyder.
Okay.
And Michael goes, you think this guy's related to Tom Snyder? And I go, no, I don't, you know, and Mike always does that. And I go, no, you know, Steve Mason, that was once one of Steve's bosses. He worked with Tom Snyder. Michael goes, where is he today? I go, Tom passed away several years ago. Mike goes, no, impossible. I go, what are you talking about impossible?
Yes.
What year did Tom pass away?
Tom passed away of leukemia 5 years ago.
Michael thinks he's still alive.
Yeah, no, he was living on his boat in Sausalito.
Was very impressed that you at one point worked with Tom.
Yeah, you're number two, John. Congratulations.
I don't mind being number two to Tom Snyder. I'll tell you that.
All right. Linz, what do you got?
All right. Last one here. Okay, so over the weekend, Demi Lovato, she started a hashtag on social media to call out all of the, quote, diet culture vultures of the world. And she went off on a local frozen yogurt shop. She wrote, quote, finding it extremely hard to order Froyo from the Big Chill when you have to walk past tons of sugar-free cookies / other diet foods before you get to the counter. Do better, please, adding the hashtag diet culture vultures. The Big Chill shot back at the singer, pointing out that they carry items for diabetics, celiac disease, vegan, and of course have many indulgent items as well. So Demi Lovato, she's been very open about her struggle with eating disorders, and she said, when it's not super clear, the messaging gets confusing, and being in LA, it's really hard to distinguish diet culture versus health needs. So people on social media did not think that she handled the situation very well, and a lot of people are calling her a Karen. Is Demi Lovato being a Karen?
Yes, Demi Lovato's being a Karen. Wait, you know, think about Lindsay, think about the story you just read. She is complaining about the fact that they had options for people that didn't want to eat a lot of sugar, that they had diet and gluten-free options for other people. Hey, Demi Lovato, what variety is the spice of life? You can get whatever you want. You want a diet cookie? You want Mace, at what point do you criticize a yogurt shop for being, for having variety, for having options? If they didn't have those things, I think she might
have
a point.
There would be complaints.
Yeah, but I don't know what the heck Demi Lovato is just yelling at the moon.
You and your eating is between you and the food, right?
Right.
I mean, that's I understand somebody that wants to cut weight and all that stuff, but at the same time, you've got to provide options for other people. It's not just about you, Demi.
But she's making a point that, you know, having things that say like sugar-free or diet or whatever in a frozen yogurt place, which, you know, you know what you're getting when you go into a place like that. I guess she's implying that it could be triggering to somebody who is not a big fan of the whole diet
culture.
Oh, God,
I hate that word, triggering.
Wait a minute. I don't understand how that can be triggering. Lindsay, did they
I understand how it can be triggering. John, you want to go in there, eat something healthy, you see something unhealthy, you buy it, all of a sudden the cookie triggered you. But, I mean, grow up. Just don't eat the cookie.
I still don't understand it. She has the choice when she goes in there to buy a regular cookie or to buy a diet cookie. Just ignore the one you don't want. You know what I mean? I mean, if you want a regular cookie, order it. Why does having a diet cookie there trigger you in some way?
It triggers her as somebody who she struggles with eating disorders, and she thinks that it's just part of this culture, like the hashtag diet culture vultures, of everything needs to be diet, everybody needs to be fit, everybody needs to be more weight conscientious and stuff like that. That's what she's trying to say. She took it that way.
But
so
some people don't care. Some people
I don't
are
either.
Heavier, and that makes no difference to them, and they eat their cookies or they eat their ice cream, their regular ice cream, not yogurt. And, you know, nobody has to comply by Demi Lovato's rules.
Sure. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I have no problem with it, but I'm just trying to provide perspective as to what her issue with it is. She thinks that this whole the company is promoting too much of a diet culture of being healthy and stuff, and saying the fact that you walked into a frozen yogurt shop is unhealthy to begin with. I guess that's her point.
I think she's kind of pain in the ass. I'm going to be honest. I really do.
Well, I love Demi, but, you know, that is kind of a weird hill to die on.
I agree with Mason. I think her nickname should be PETA. Pain in the ass.
All right. Bilal tweets, Mason, you need lots of practice on the proper way to say for show. For show. For show.
It's for show.
For show.
For show.
For show.
For show.
Or you can say it like this.
For shizzle, dizzle. That's what I was going to say. As Snoop Dogg would say, for shizzle, dizzle.
I need some practice on that. All right. Coming up next for you, Lakers lose last night. What does it mean for them in the great scheme of things? When is Anthony Davis coming back? And the Dodgers have a 1-0 lead now on the Seattle Mariners. It is the top of the 7th inning. Julio Urias is throwing just a great game right now. So we'll keep you up to date on that as well. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.